Okay, we're continuing with Drushas Haran, and today is a Chazara review of Drushas Haran, Drush number 3. Okay, so the Ran started off the Drush number 3 in Parshas Bo. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron, both of them, and tells them that this is the first month for you, and gives them the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So, the Ran wants to start off talking about why it was this specific mitzvah given to Moshe and Aaron. So even though the Torah in general was given only through Moshe, the first mitzvah was given to Moshe and Aaron for several reasons. Number one, both Aaron and Moshe, were involved with the Geula, so it's right that they both be included in the mitzvah that led to Geula, because we know that the reason why the Bnei Yisrael were zochet to be redeemed from Mitzrayim is because of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That was the mitzvah that got them out of there. So they got that mitzvah together. Second reason was that Aaron already had nevuah. Till now, the Navi in Mitzrayim had been Aaron. And you'll find in Sefer Yecheskel, you can see the list there. It talks about the nevuah that Aaron got in Mitzrayim. And so Aaron was the Navi in Mitzrayim until Moshe came around and started being the Navi. So for the first mitzvah, Hashem gave it to both of them. And also the fact that, obviously, that Aaron agreed to not be the Navi. He wasn't jealous at all. He was happy for his brother that he was just going to be Moshe's mouthpiece and there wasn't going to be the actual Navi. So the first mitzvah that Hashem gave to Klai Yisrael as a reward for him not being jealous of Moshe. So the first mitzvah was given to them both. Okay, so the Ran asks, why is it, it's almost like a tangent, but now that we've mentioned that Aaron was going to be Moshe's mouthpiece, why did Moshe need a mouthpiece? Why was it that Hashem made Moshe that he was a kvad pet, that he had a speech impediment, that he needed someone to speak for him? Because everything with Moshe Rabbeinu, everything about him, was always above nature. L'mayin l'miderech hateva. And it has to be that way, because we know Moshe is, Hashem says, then will never ever be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, why would the Torah, the Ran asks, why would Hashem say that then it's never ever going to reach someone to be such a tzaddik like Moshe? It didn't happen yet. Why knock everyone? Let everyone have a chance. Why would Hashem say no one will ever reach the level of nevuah like Moshe? And then the Ran answers, because even Moshe's reaching that level was an ace. It's impossible for someone to reach the level of nevuah of Moshe and still be a human being. He was to get nevuah while standing up and panim el panim, and the level that Moshe reached was a one-time thing that Hashem made an ace that Moshe was able to do it. But it's not a normal thing, and unless Hashem makes an ace, it never happens. So that's why Hashem was able to say that there will never be a Navi like Moshe ever again. So since we know the whole story of Moshe was above nature, l'mayla miderech hateva, so why would Hashem make him that he couldn't speak? Now the Ran mentions that the reason why it was so important that Moshe reach that super high level of nevuah, and that it would have to be reached only through a miracle, is because Hashem wanted it clear that Moshe was the Navi. Hashem wanted everyone to know that anybody who comes around and says, "Oh, Moshe told you to do this," I heard from God the opposite. So Hashem wanted everyone to know that the level of nevuah Moshe being reached, it would be absolutely impossible, but it would be miraculous. Anyone who ever had nevuah falls down, as the Ran says, that you fall down when you get nevuah. Whereas Moshe was able to stand up fully erect, as if he's talking to a friend. So that's what it says, panim upon him, and he got nevuah at all times. And that was done specifically, Hashem made an ace that such a thing should happen, because Hashem wanted it to be known that Moshe was on the highest level of nevuah attainable, or more, even more than that. And this way, anyone who would come around later and say, the whole thing was baloney, or Moshe told you one thing, I know better, because Hashem told me that he changed his mind. So everyone knows that if you didn't reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, so then Moshe's the bigger prophet than you. Okay, also he mentions that Moshe was, in the sense, like an angel, because regular human beings, all human beings, have good days and bad days. They have days when they're overtired, cranky, and they have days where they're at their highest levels. So that's why he said most Nevi'im can't just get Nevuah whenever, right? They have to get themselves in the mood, like Chazal talk about. They have to get music. However they get themselves in the mood, they have to be in the right frame of mind, totally holy and ready to receive Nevuah. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem could come speak to Moshe Rabbeinu at any level. That means to say, the Ran says, that Moshe was always on. He never had an off day. Hashem made him almost angelic. The whole thing was an ace. It was all to give Moshe the super high level of Nevuah to make his Nevuah undisputed. But there was no such thing as an off day with Moshe Rabbeinu. And this also is how the Ran explains the following, because we know that there's a halacha that 7 days before Yom Kippur, we take the Kohen Gadol and we separate him. And the same thing was the Kohen Asarif as a Parah for the Parah Duma. We separate the Kohen Gadol 7 days prior to Yom Kippur or prior to the burning of the Parah Duma. And how do we know that? So one option in the Gemara in Yuma is that we know that from Moshe, because the Pasuk says that Moshe was separated 7 days prior to going up to Har Sinai. So ask the Ran, how on earth can you learn that a Kohen Gadol has to separate himself before Yom Kippur from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be separated 7 days before Har Sinai? Har Sinai was the most important, highest level revelation that ever happened. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu needed 7 days of Prisha, 7 days of separation before he had the Har Sinai, how does that show anything about a Kohen Gadol? I mean, granted, Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is a very high level, but it is not the level of Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That was the singular most important event in history. So how do we know by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, how does it be separated 7 days prior to Maimed Har Sinai? How does that say anything about what a regular Kohen Gadol has to do before Yom Kippur? So the Ran answer is it's exactly this point. Since Moshe didn't need separation, the whole point of separation, says the Ran, so that, let's say, the Kohen Gadol should take some time. He has to separate himself from what he was doing and start thinking about Kadosh thoughts, holy thoughts, get ready for Yom Kippur, get out of his mundane self and bring himself into a holier level. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. He was always at that holy level. He wasn't a regular person. He was always on the super high level. So the idea of Moshe separating himself 7 days to prepare made no sense. There's no such thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is always on. He's always ready to go. So why on earth would Hashem have told Moshe he needs to separate himself 7 days before Har Sinai? The answer is because it's to teach us, as the Ran, the whole point is there, it's to teach us that whenever someone like the Kohen Gadol is going up on Yom Kippur, he's going to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, is going to see Hashem, in a sense, he's going to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim, let's say. So when you do something like it, it's to teach us that a Kohen Gadol has to do. We learn it from Moshe, even though it didn't make any sense by Moshe, but it was to teach us that for future generations, you need 7 days of preparation prior to, let's say, Yom Kippur. So that's how he explains how we could learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so getting back to the original issue, why was Moshe not made perfect? If everything with him, Hashem made a miracle that he was basically like an angel, so why is it that he was made with a speech impediment? And if you'll say, well, who cares? Whether you can speak well or not is not a spiritual trait. So who cares if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak well? Maybe it doesn't matter. So the Ran says that's not true, because Chazal tells us that a Navi has to be a Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, Va'anav, has to be wise and strong, rich and humble. And the Gemara says, V'kulam Moshe, and all of them were learned from Moshe. Okay, so Moshe had all those things. So you see that a Navi is supposed to have these type of attributes. And says the Ran, what is Ashir? How is that a spiritual level? Or Gibor? Obviously, those aren't spiritual things. So the fact that a Navi has to have things that seem completely physical, he has to be a Shalim and or perfect in every way. He also has to be physically perfect. He has to be strong and rich. So he says, even though the Rambam, there are those who learn that Gibor means, like it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Gibor, Kovish Es Yitzro, and Ezu Asher Asameach Mechalka, there are other ways of explaining Gibor and Asher as not what it sounds like, not physically strong, but let's say mentally or spiritually strong. So the Ran rejects this, because the proof that the Gemara brings that someone has to be a Gibor is from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was strong enough to break the luchos. So you see, Gibor doesn't mean some kind of spiritual thing, it means physically strong. And the same with the usher, that he became an usher from the leftovers, from the luchos. So you see, the Gemara says that these attributes that a Navi must have, the totally physical attributes, being literally rich. So why is that? Why would the Gemara require that? Why did Chazal say a Navi needs to have that? So the Ran says it's for two reasons. One, it's for the honor of the people who the Navi is coming to talk to, Bnei Yisrael, that he should be a chush of a guy. And number two is that so people should accept what he says. Because low people, you're not going to I mean, not low spiritually, but people who are poor, let's say, so people aren't as likely to listen to them. So someone who's a very chash of a guy, in every way, people are more likely to listen to him. And therefore, that's why a Navi has to have these traits. So, says the Ran, okay, if you had to pick what's the most important trait we would think that a Navi would have, it would be that it could talk normal. I mean, that's what the word Navi means, and the word Navi comes from the Nivs Vasayim, is to speak. So the most important thing you would think physically for a Navi is that he could speak well. So how could it be that the greatest of all Naviim was made that he could not speak properly? So, and also the Ran says that Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have been troubled by this too. Because when Hashem tells Moshe that he should go and be the messenger, be the shliach, to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, so Moshe says, I'm an Elam, I can't talk normally. He says, I was never able to speak well for many years, and even after we spoke, I wasn't able to speak. So what does that last thing mean? Even from the time that I spoke to you, Moshe says to Hashem, I still can't speak well. So why did he say that? You see, the Moshe Rabbeinu must have assumed that, of course, if I'm going to be the shliach, so now that once you're telling me that I'm going to be the shliach, my speech impediment will be healed. And it wasn't. And so you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was a little surprised. How come my speech impediment wasn't healed? After we spoke and you told me I'm going to speak to Paro, I'm going to be the Navi. How come I'm still speaking with a speech impediment? And what's Hashem's response? Misam pel ilim. That who placed lack of speech in people's mouths? So ask the Ran, how on earth does that answer the question? What does that have to do with anything? Also, you see, the Gemara says that the Gemara suggests, someone says, it says Nar Boche. So one of the, in the Gemara, one of the Amoraim suggests Nar Boche, that Moshe, when he was a little baby, he was crying, he had the voice of a Nar, of an older child. And the Gemara says, an Amor responds to him, if you say that, then you made Moshe a Balmum. If you're saying he didn't speak normally, that he had the call of a Nar, so then you made him a Balmum. So you see, Chazal were very concerned that no one should ever say Moshe has a Mum. So again, why this super Mum to a Navi that he couldn't speak properly? So the Ran answers that the reason is that Hashem wanted the Torah to be completely accepted. Everyone in Klal Yisrael should accept the Torah without any doubts. So therefore the whole story of the Geula from beginning to end had to be done in a way with no doubts. So for example, he had it go down to Mitzrayim so that when Hashem would make the Nisim, the miracles, the Ten Makos, people would know that it wasn't a fake and it wasn't just magic, because it was done in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the capital of magic. And everyone would know there if the Esther Makos was just a bunch of magic and a fake out, or if it was really from Hashem. So that's why it was done in Mitzrayim, so everyone would know, no, this is the real deal, this is not magic, this is from Hashem. And for the same reason, Hashem needed Moshe to have a kvad peh, because people sometimes are taken by a very good speaker, and if someone can speak well, he can convince people of things that aren't true. And the opposite, if someone speaks poorly, so then, or has a speech problem, so then even when they're telling the truth, sometimes people don't listen to them. So Hashem wanted it known. Moshe was not a good speaker. He had a problem with speech, and still everyone accepted it because it was the absolute truth. And that's what Hashem answered Moshe, Mia sum ilam. So the Ran says, what does it mean? Who places lack of speech? You can't place a lack of speech. Usually you place something that is. You can't place something that isn't. It's just, it's not there. Right? It's the absence of the thing. You don't place lack of speech. You place speech, maybe. What does it mean, Hashem, mi yasum ilam, who places lack of speech? So the Ran says, it's because everything with Hashem, there's no such thing as existence and non-existence. Everything from Hashem is by Hashem. If Hashem makes it exist, it exists. If Hashem makes it not exist, it doesn't exist. Everything is bakavana. There's no just a lack of thought or a lack of intention for something to be there, because it just isn't. Everything is exactly the way it is for a reason. So Hashem is saying, I placed lack of speech, meaning it was bekavana. It was on purpose, not just you didn't happen to have speech. I made it that you don't have speech because of this reason, and I wanted everyone to know that the Torah was accepted, because it was absolute truth. So anyway, Moshe was lamaisa, uncomfortable with his lack of speech, so Hashem gave him Aaron to be his mouthpiece. So we know Aaron wasn't jealous of Moshe, and because of this, Aaron was zocha to the choshen, for not being jealous. So the Ran wants to know, why exactly was Aaron given the reward of having the choshen? The Chazal tell us that it was the choshen that he was zocha to, that he was rewarded with for not being jealous. So why is it specifically the choshen that Aaron got. What's the Mida Keneged Mida there? We know everything Hashem does. The Ran says it's because of Mida Keneged Mida. Because, and the Ran explains the reason why it has to be that way is because this way people know it comes from Hashem. Because if you did one thing and your reward had nothing to do with it, maybe just had good luck. So Hashem makes it. Every reward and punishment is Mida Keneged Mida. It's similar to the mitzvah or whatever you did so that you know it comes from Hashem. Anyway, so what's special about the Choshen? So the Ran says, what does the Choshen have to do with Kahuna? It's true, Aaron got Kahuna, and there are Shmona Begodim that come with Kahuna. But why is it that the part of the Big Day Kahuna is the Choshen? Choshen has the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim tell the future. What does that have to do with Kahuna? If you don't have the Urim V'Tumim inside the Choshen, it's still kosher. In other words, in the second base of Mikdash, they did not have the ability to tell the future. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, and still the Kohen was able to be considered wearing his Shmona Begadim. So why was the Urim V'Tumim part of the Choshen? It shouldn't have been part of the Choshen at all. Telling the truth is, telling the future rather, is something you would think that a Navi should be wearing around his heart. Why was the Urim V'Tumim given as a part of Kahuna, is given as part of the Shmona Kahuna, Shmona Begadim? So the reason why the Urim V'Tumim, telling the future, a little bit of Nevuah, is part of Kahuna is exactly, that's how Chazal knew, that it was a reward for Aaron not being jealous. Since Aaron wasn't jealous of Moshe being the Navi, so Aaron was given a little bit Nevuah as part of Kahuna. So that's the Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, new topic. It says, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Pasuk says that this Chodesh is for you. What does it mean, the Chodesh Lachem? It's for you. So the Ran says that the reason it says this month is for you, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, is because there's no reason that Nisan needs to be the first of the months. There's nothing special about it that it should be the first of the months. Rather, it's HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's for you, for Bnei Yisrael, to be the first month. And the reason is because it's special to us, because that's the month that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. So that's what it means, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Because, says the Ran, everything with the Yiddish calendar has to follow things that have to do with Schar V'Onesh and not astronomical or physical things. And he says that's why when it comes to counting the years, we count from Tishrei, even though astronomically we paskin that the world was created in Nisan, but the world is certainly judged in Tishrei, that's when Rosh Hashanah is, and the world is judged in Tishrei. So therefore, when that time of year comes back again, so we know that Hashem made a gzera that the world should exist another year. So it's not based on, like, when you count the solar year, that you would say, okay, well, when did the sun begin, and then count the year from there. Because we don't care about the physical aspect of the world. That's not how our calendar works. It works around Ruchnius. So Nisan is special in that we're redeemed, and Tishrei is special in that that's when people are judged. Okay, that's the Ran's pshat, but he says that Chazal say that Lachem hints at the fact that Kiddush HaChodesh is up to the Beis Din to decide. Meaning, if Beis Din says that a certain day is Rosh Chodesh, then it is. Whether, even if they made a mistake, still it's given over to Klal Yisrael that if they say this is Rosh Chodesh, then it is. So the Ran says that Chazal tell us, and we say Divri Chachamim Ketar Bonos, that the words of Chachamim lead a person to good things, like an ox that's put on the straight path by the cow prod. So the Chazal lead a person in the right way. The Torah leads a person to the right way. And it also says that Kulam Nasnu Meroa Echad, that all of the Torah was given from one source. And even though Halala Matamin, Halala Matar, and even though Chazal argue about a certain halacha, some say it's Torah, some say it's not Torah, some say it's Mutter, some say it's Aser, it's all given from Moshe. So the Ran wants to know, how could it be that everything was given to Moshe, which means everything was said by Hashem? If they're arguing, one says Torah, one says Tamid, is the famous question. How could it be that they're both from Hashem if one is obviously wrong? Meaning if his example of Hillel and Shammai disagree about the Shir Chala. So there is only one Shir Chala. So if whoever said the wrong amount, so how could you say Hashem said that too? Hashem doesn't say things that aren't true. So what does it mean that they're all given from Hashem? So the Ran explains that there is something that is actually correct in Shemayim, like Klapei Shemaya Galia. What is the real answer? And yet on earth, if we pass in a different way, then that's correct on earth. and that's the way Hashem wants us to do things on earth. And he says that's all story with the famous story in Bava Metzia about Tanur Dachnai, where Rabbi Eliezer said, if I'm right, let the river flow backwards. If I'm right, let this happen. If I'm right, let that happen. And all the miracles happened. And even a bas kolos, a voice came out from Shemayim saying, what do you want from it? Rabbi Eliezer is right. And still, Rabbi Yeshua says, lo b'shamayim, we don't go with what it says in Shemayim. And in other words, if we pask in a certain way on earth, so then that's the halacha. Even if we're wrong, even like there, Rabbi Baskol came out and said, you're wrong. And they were wrong, that's how the Ran understands it. Yeah, they're wrong, it doesn't matter, that's the way we go on earth, and then that's what Hashem wants us to do. So the Ran says, this is hinted to in the first mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Karban Pesach.
Like the Wemple Board, Alex so, Guys, Sky Priority, 2537, Wemple Board.
The Ran says that this was part of the first mitzvah because it is from the most important yisodos in the Torah. And there are other very important concepts taught in this first mitzvah. Number one, that the fact that doing spiritual mitzvahs affects your physical body. Like, if you would put the blood on the door, then you won't be killed on Makas Bechoros. So obviously putting the blood on the door has nothing to do, is nothing physical, and yet it would save you from physical death. So it's part, in that first mitzvah we see the idea that doing spiritual things has effect on your physical body. And so too at another beginning, like by Maro, where we got more mitzvahs, it was the same thing. They put a bitter tasting wood, hardufni, into water, and it magically made it taste sweet. So again, he did a spiritual thing, affected something physically. And the third one, he says, at Har Sinai, we all had nevuah, then we saw that everything, it all comes from Hashem anyway. Anyway, the Ran also says that this helps us understand that the neshama continues on after death. For example, animals, they subsist on physical things alone. And when they die and have no body, it makes sense that there's nothing left of them. But when we see that man's life changes based on spiritual things, then we know that the neshama is not just schlepped along with the physical. The spiritual things are with man above physical. So when the person dies, we don't say, oh, well, he must be gone, because you see that spiritual things schlep along the physical things. And therefore, we know that just because the person dies, it's still his neshama can carry on. And he says, the Ran says, that's why all the Torah's promises are about bracha. If you do mitzvos, you get so much bracha. It's all physical rewards, because Hashem wants to let you know this is so important idea, that when you do spiritual mitzvos that are totally unphysical, it affects the physical world, it affects your life right now. And he says that's why Hashem made so many nisim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the whole Midbar, is to put in this concept. It wasn't so that we should believe that everything is run by Hashem, because we got that at Har Sinai. Rather, is to show that Hashem is that the spiritual rather affects the physical. Now the Ran also says another important concept is hinted to at this mitzvah, and that is that if somebody left their house, even though they put the blood on the door, if they left their house, Chazal tells Kibin Shnitna Rishos Tamashkes in a Mavchen Bein Tzadik LaRasha, that if a person would walk out of their door and they were a Bechor, they would be killed. Because once Hashem gives right to the Yetzer Hara to go out and kill and destroy, he can't tell the difference between a Tzadik and a Rasha. So he says we see from this a couple things. Number one, that Hashem doesn't do Nisim for no reason, meaning here the Nes would be that everyone's going to die and he's going to be miraculously saved. So Hashem doesn't do Nisim for no reason. If Hashem said stay in your house, so this guy would need a special Nis, that he should be different than everybody else out in the street. Secondly, that even though things go through, they don't come, Hashem doesn't run this world like it comes directly from Hashem, because then there would be no such concept as Einam Afchem Metadik LaRosha. But Hashem works it in a natural way, in the sense that it goes through, Hashem has this Gzera, and it goes down to the Malachim and the lower Malachim, it all goes down some kind of chain of command. And it's done in a natural way, and it doesn't work in specifics. So therefore, outside of unusual cases, let's say super tzaddikim or super unusual circumstances, the world has general gzeiras, and people aren't typically saved from general gzeiras unless unusual circumstances. And he says all these concepts are hinted to in the first mitzvah. And he says, in this month of Nisan is the month we hope for Mashiach, because we paskin, because whatever the month the world was created is the month that we say is Asidin Liko, and since we paskin that the world was created in Nisan, so we know in Nisan we will eventually be redeemed when Mashiach comes. Yemeru Yomenu Amen. Ad Kan, that is the quick summation of the Drush Saran, Drush number 3. Mirtz Hashem, next year we will start Drush number 4.